Cheese Shop presents The Butter Factor from the Radio Theatre, London.
So, how was your honeymoon then, Bert?
Oh, amazing. Really amazing. Lovely, lovely people. So friendly. Great food.
Ah, right. Did you manage to pick up any of the lingo?
Certainly did, Brian. Buongiorno.
Huh?
It means good morning.
Oh, right, right. Anything else?
Oh, quite a few phrases, actually. Good afternoon, good evening, goodbye. No, I ordered the chicken. Excuse me, is this the way to the beach? What is that in your hand? Please leave us alone. Go away or I'll call the police. Stop. Here is all my money. Help, it's an emergency. You must help me. My wife has been attacked. Blood, knife, stab, throat. I need an ambulance. Is there a doctor who speaks English? Oh, my God, no. Where is the morgue? Yes, that's her.
Blimey, you're almost fluent. Where's Mary tonight? She's not coming out. What?
Cheese Shop. As someone who suffers from acute impotence, I found certain items in your show last week both insensitive and distressing. In particular, your humorous series of sketches about an unemployed employment officer was hardly a fitting subject for my wife and I to have to listen to as we attempted to make love for the first time in over a decade. Simon Peeve, Sussex.
Welcome to you all on this joyful day, the opening of the Hills End Community Centre. I am not Prince Charles, I am Miles Stoats, the manager. Before I introduce His Royal Highness, I'd like to say a couple of words. Firstly, this is the Community Centre brochure and rule book. You'll see it has my face on the inside sleeve. Please read it. There's always some idiots who don't. Please do, it makes our lives easier. Secondly, this is your community centre, but it's also my home, which is why weekends and evenings are already booked for me and my wife to relax, unwind and play badminton. The rest of the week is yours. Use it or lose it, but never abuse it. Always stack a male chair onto a female chair. Never make tea or coffee without wearing gloves. The urns are covered in anti-climb paint. Take nothing but photographs. Leave nothing in the suggestions box. I'm not going to go on because I know His Royal Highness has to rush off for an urgent appointment with another man's wife. But I will say this. The educationally subnormal grinning buffoon on my left, sorry, Your Highness, on my right, is Gareth. He's my number two. But he is not a number. He is a human being. He is my colleague, my captain, my bodyguard in the event of an attempt on my life. And it does happen. I wish it wouldn't, but it does. Any challenge to his authority is a challenge to mine. Having said that, if you ever see him wearing black soles in the gym, please tell me. I'll be only too happy to fire him. Say hello, Gareth.
Hello.
Congratulations, you've kept your job. Finally, and I'm not going to make a long speech, but I will just say this. I don't like the Queen. The rest of them I can stomach. It's just her and her petty-minded obsession with getting her face on my money and my stamps and my television set that gets on my craw. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, the Prince of Wales has left. Therefore falls to me to declare the Hills End Community Centre open by unveiling this portrait of me. The time is 6 o'clock. We're now closed. I suggest you get out of my community centre before I have you banned.
Black Dog.
Good girl. Aren't you a good
girl? Excuse me, is that your dog?
Yes.
Could I have a quick word with her?
I suppose so.
Oh, black dog, I have been spurned by Stella from behind the bar at the Cow and the Moon. You know, the posh one, Stella, that's what we call her. I asked her out and she said, no, not in a million years. Oh, black dog, wreak vengeance on my behalf. Make her grow a massive beard really quickly at an embarrassing moment, so then she'll have to go out with me.
Sorry, look, what are you saying?
You won't forget, will you, black dog?
Can you get off her, please? Come on.
Stella Artois, the Cow and Moon, grow a beard! Good on you, black dog. Black dog magic.
Point the usual, please, Stella, and have one for yourself. Yeah, well, maybe just one for me, then.
Dear the cheese shop, you are sick people. As someone who is at some point going to pass away, I found your sketch last week about a bungled bank raid and its hilarious consequences, both ill-judged and offensive. As funny as your material may be, it's hardly the sort of thing I should find myself subjected to when I'm writing my will. Simon P. Sussex.
Hi. My name is Ken Isbister, and I think I'm here primarily because I sound a little bit like Tony Blair. I mean, personally, I can't see it, but the producer thinks I do and said, just get up there and hopefully you'll get laughs as soon as you open your mouth. Well, that hasn't happened, but I'm going to press on anyway. So, last Saturday, I was on a train from Manchester to London, travelling weekend first. Free biscuit. And these two skin-headed youths got on at Stockport and sat down at my table. Now, I don't like judging people on their appearance. But by the same token, I don't like skinheads either. That's the aggressive ones. The gay ones, I don't mind. Anyway, these skinheads then lit up cigarettes. I'm thinking, come on, guys. There's no way you've paid for tickets in this part of the train, and now you're smoking in what's clearly a non-smoking carriage. So I said something. I said, put those effing cigarettes out or you'll be wearing that novelty light by the window as a kind of joint hat. They were surprised, to say the least. Partly, presumably, because I sound a little bit like Tony Blair. But mainly, I suspect, because they'd never had a 7-stone white Rastafarian stand up to them like that before. Well, they said some unspeakable things, which I won't repeat. And in the end, I was forced to kick the living daylights out of the pair of them. But the rather embarrassing conclusion to the story is that when they were being carried off the train by paramedics at Macclesfield, one of their tickets fluttered to the ground, and I'd been sitting in their seats all along, seats which they'd had special dispensation to smoke in from the senior conductor on medical grounds. So that just goes to show you, doesn't it? Well, I've been Ken Isbister, and maybe see you again. Cheers.
Before we view the piece, Mike, I wanted to say that just getting it finished has been an achievement. You've obviously had a lot of problems. You've persevered, and I respect you for it.
Thanks, Sam.
Tell me, who did we get to play the Ian Roberts part in the end?
Oh, Ian Roberts.
Ian Roberts?
Yes, luckily we had some footage already in the can when he died, so using that and body doubles for long shots, we managed to make a movie.
I heard the heart attack was quite early on in filming.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say.
At the screen test?
Yep.
As you were meeting him in reception?
Such a tragic waste.
Exactly how much footage did you have of him?
7 seconds.
Henry VIII is a 3-hour film.
Yeah.
He's playing Henry.
And he's very good.
Is there anything else I should know?
Well, we did have to shoot the rest of the film on the reception security camera so his bits wouldn't stand out.
I think we'd better see some of this.
My lord, the Queen sends a message from the tower begging for clemency. What is your answer?
Sorry I'm late. Road works on the M25. You know, I really am very excited by this project.
Very well, sire. The execution will continue as planned.
Well?
Yeah, that's all right.
Oh, Black Dog, I have been spurned again. Stella Artois grew a great big hairy beard, but she still won't go out with me. She's going out with this mechanic called Jim, who drives her into work at the circus every day. Wreak vengeance on him, Black Dog. Make him get trapped inside the combustion engine of a car and get mashed into a thousand pieces. Also, it's my dad's birthday next week and I don't know what to get him. You won't forget, will you, Black Dog? Mechanic, combustion engine, 1,000 pieces. And what about a sandwich toaster? Good on you, Black Dog.
What's going on? Who's that?
Hey, you're all right, sir. It's safe to cross.
Black Dog magic.
So, what do you think the problem is?
Well, what it is, you've got my colleague, Jim, stuck under your bonnet. And that's why the wheels aren't going round, and there's blood coming out of the engine.
I see. Can you fix it?
And the final nominee in the category of Best Picture at this year's Academy Awards is Henry VIII, or as I believe it was released here in the USA, The Beard of King Henry. Let's have a look at a clip.
Sire, the Scots army await us on Flodden Field. When should we attack?
I'm late.
Are you sure, sire?
Sorry.
No need to be, sire. You're the king.
You know, I really am.
Yes, indeed. So, shall I bid the army be ready by this evening?
I really am very excited by this.
Yes, sire, the old bloodlust. But what am I saying, old? You are but only 26, I believe.
I'm 25.
How are you? Well, there you are. Okay, so we'll attack at dusk.
Roadworks.
Yeah, shouldn't have any trouble getting there. We'll teach these Scots a lesson. What are we going to make them?
Sorry.
You bet we are.
And the winner is... It's The Beard of King Henry, directed by Mike Carell.
Thank you. Thank you. Gosh, I don't know what to say. We really, really didn't expect to win this. Obviously, the star of the film couldn't be with us tonight, but Ian Roberts did send us this message.
I really am very excited...
And I think that says it all. Thank you very much.
Who's there, Ruby? Sing a songwriter.
Hi, I'm Ted Ruby. You know, people often say to me, where in the hell do you get your ideas for lyrics, Ted? So I decided to make that the subject of my first songwriting masterclass. They're only words. Choosing a topic for a song. It's a piece of goddamn cake. I say, if in doubt, write about a clown. It works on so many levels. Listen to this. I am not a clown. You can't paint a smile on me when I am down. Not a clown. There's no confetti in my bucket. But if you're feeling lucky, I'd like to clown around with you. You see how well that works? Clown around with you. That's goddamn genius, yeah. Straight away you struck gold. This is gonna mean something to somebody somewhere. Probably a clown, but hey, one in every 750,000 people is a clown. That's common knowledge. Even if only one in every two clowns buys your record, that's 50% of the world clown population. You gotta smash on your hands. Verse 2, tease them with animal imagery. I am not a horse. You can't lead this horse to water and then force it to take a drink. Ah, if you think I'd buck my lover, you got another think coming, brother, but I'd still horse around with you. Obviously, you're gonna have problems selling records to horses. You just gotta hope the clowns stick with it. Verse 3, I am not... Never write a third verse. Instrumental! Remember, clowns plus horses equals H-I-T. None of this is true. I'm Ted Ruby. Good night.
And now on Radio 4, Fellas Hour.
This is a man's
world. All right, boys. Steve Davis here. Not the Steve Davis, obviously. I'm not the snooker player. I am Steve Davis, host of Fellas Hour. And what a cracking show we got lined up for you today. At 10 past, it's Desert Island Birds. This week, it's weatherman Michael Fish's turn to tell us which young ladies he'll be taking with him onto his desert island. William Hill's currently offering 5-1, Maura Stewart. And Kirsty Young at 2s, but the smart money's on Suzanne Charlton at evens. At 5:30, ex-England centre-back Terry Butcher's going to be here to talk us around his favourite bike. Now, apparently, it's only a Honda 750, so we've scheduled that one to clash with the darts on the other side. You might want to switch over for 10 minutes. After that, the programme's back on track with our new feature on great men with the first name Richard. We've concentrated on successful Richards so that we can call that feature Big Dicks. Sounds a bit racy. But before all that, we start the show off with a plea for help. It's a letter from a listener calling himself simply a Mickey Rourke think-alike from Margate. He writes, "All right, Steve, I was wondering if you can help me with a bit of a tricky situation I've gotten myself into. I was watching a video of 9½ weeks with my missus the other night, and we got a bit frisky. Well, didn't have any whipped cream, so I figured ketchup will do. As a result, the carpet's ruined and Mrs. has got the hump. She smells of Tommy sauce and all. Can you help? Well, a Mickey Rourke thing alike from Margate, your problem came from food, and it is with food that we shall solve it. You've got to show your tender side. And I don't mean drop your trousers and bend over. I'm talking about cooking her a slap-up dinner for two. Give her a slice of toast with I love you written in alphabetti spaghetti on it. Your troubles are over. Just don't tip the rest of the tin over and try and lick it off, because then you're right back where you started, aren't you? Good luck, mate. Dealt with. OK, on with the show. First up, it's an interview with the brains behind the pictures of naked ladies you get in pubs with the peanuts hanging off them. Bill Gates, eat your heart out. Here we go.
This is a man's world.
Well, half-time, Colin, and a disappointing match.
Well, that's right, Brian. You know, both sides are getting plenty of men behind the ball and they're cancelling each other out. Having said that, there are a lot of mistakes being made out there.
So, disappointing first half. A lot of mistakes being made out there.
That's right, you know, a lot of mistakes being made out there. It's getting a bit scrappy, you know. In fact, it's been very disappointing.
They're cancelling each other out, really, aren't they, Colin?
That's right, Brian. You know, both sides are getting plenty of men behind the ball, but as I say, a lot of mistakes being made.
So, a disappointing first half, then. Hopefully it will improve in the second half. What are your thoughts about that second half?
Well, hopefully it'll improve, you know. Actually, I have written a poem about my hopes and fears for the second half. If you'll indulge me, Brian.
Well, OK, then, briefly.
Right, well, initially this was a haiku, you know, the rigidity of the form perfectly mirroring the deadlock on the pitch. But then, as we've touched on, mistakes started creeping in, and so the looseness of the structure of my poem is now a metaphor for what has effectively become footballing anarchy. As I say, it's a poem that looks forward to a better second half, and it's called simply Dawn. Dawn. A new watery sun rises after the longest, darkest night, spreading its joy and its hope. With a new sphere in motion, the massed ranks of pagan children stare agape. Oh, that it is no false dawn, like so many.
Well, time will tell. Thanks, Colin. Join us after this.
Dear the cheese shop, once again I'm forced to put pen to paper. As a parent of three, perhaps even four children, I found your series of witty and well-written sketches on an Eskimo central heating fitter both ill-judged and embarrassing. The waves of raucous human laughter were hardly a fitting backdrop as I attempted to explain to my seven-year-old exactly how our pet cat had become pregnant and why the kittens had to be drowned. Simon Peeve, Sussex!
I'm looking for a black dog.
We've got a little poodle here on special offer.
Oh, right. Oh, black dog. I have been spurned again. My father didn't like the sandwich toaster. He said he already had one, and could I exchange it for an egg poacher? Wreak vengeance, black dog. Make him, I don't know, get electrocuted somehow. Do it, black dog. Father, electrocuted somehow. Oh, I don't know, radio in the bath or anything, you tell me. Good on you, black dog.
So do you want him?
You're all right, mate, I wouldn't want one of my own. Oh, no.
Black dog magic.
This is Vivaldi FM. I'm Adrian Peach. And you're in the bath. Actually, I think I might join you.
Hey?
But, Jep, I'm coming in. Whee!
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to welcome back those crazy stars of Britain's favourite Cold War-based sitcom from the 70s. Firstly, Mr. Norbert Bucketson.
Who's in the Kremlin?
You are!
I am.
He is. Secondly, King of the Pratfall, Mr. Dickie Whoops.
Hi, hi! Whoops! Oh, gold! Ski!
Oh, dear! Ski! And finally, that man of a thousand voices, Mr. Bertie Bufton.
Leave it, Trotsky!
Who was that supposed to be, Bertie?
Terry Scott.
Terry Scott.
He's in Terry and June.
Of course he was.
Yeah, he plays Terry.
Yes, we know.
Right-o.
Well, the gang's all here, so it's time once again for Who's in the Kremlin?
I tell you, I was absolutely desperate, so I let one go. That seemed to make things better, so I let another one go. Then this American chap let one go, and pretty soon we were letting them go left, right and centre. It was a roaring success. OK then, Mrs. Stalin, I'll tell you more about the spy exchanges later. Bye-bye! Who's in the Kremlin?
You are!
I am. Come on in!
Oi, oi! Whoops! Oh, Gordsky!
Oh, Gordsky indeed, Dickie. Now you've done it. You've landed right on my test tube.
I've never heard it called that before.
No, my test tube from the Biological Warfare Department. It's the most potent 6 inches in the world.
I'll use that charm line myself.
Oh, quick, open your mouth and put this in.
And that one.
Oh, it's the antidote to the nerve gas, you fool. Oh, things were much easier when Lenin was around.
I don't care what you say, Macca. The Japanese bird's staying. Woo-hoo!
Ah, Lenin.
I was being John Lennon. cracked impression of John Lennon there.
Yes. Oh, Lennon, thank goodness. What shall we do about this nerve gas?
Yeah, I can do Ringo Starr and all if you like.
Yes, right.
That's him.
Are you sure this antidote will work, Norbert?
I'm afraid I don't have 100% proof.
That's easily taken care of. Two double vodkas, please, Barber.
That ain't a bar, you idiot. Even I can see that. Who wants to see my pants?
Bertie, no!
That was Who's in the Kremlin, starring Norbert Buckinson, Dickie Whoops and Bertie Bafton. Join us next week when Norbert gets his helmet stuck in the iron curtain.
All right, Green Thumbers, I'm Jack Finsborough. Welcome once again to my garden and phoning. Our first caller is Rodney Pepper from Canesham. All right, Rodney, what's your question?
All right, Jack. I'm having a terrible time with some fungus on my old weeping willow.
No.
I've tried, you know, nibbling furiously on it, but it just comes straight back and I get very ill.
I see. Tell me, Rodney, what colour is this fungus?
It's as grey as the hair on my back.
Ah, oh dear, Rodney. I'm afraid this is no ordinary fungus. You can't just nibble it off. Because as soon as it's dark, those chiggering pixies will be straight back out, painting it all back on again.
Chiggering pixies, you say?
Mischievous bloody pixies. There's only one thing you can do, Rodney. Nerve gas. Vast quantities of nerve gas. And fire. Lovely fire! Nerve gas and fire! Incinerate the little chiggerers while they choke! Burn them with glorious fire! Lovely fire, you hear me? Burn them to little frazzled pixies with an incandescent wall of fire! Then stab them with knives! Stab, stab, stab while they burn!
That should do the trick.
Well, that's all we have time for. Till next time, Green Thumbers, stay warm.
The Butter Factor was written and performed by The Cheese Shop, who are Gerard Foster, Dave Lamb, Gordon Southern, Tim Berender, Ben Ward and Richard Webb. The producer was Maria Esposito.